Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
So I turn, let's see, how old am I? Damian Perez, producer and co-host here at the City Boy Studios. I turned 31 in about a week. And I like to think at this point where I'm at in life, not a, especially with the amount of sports that I've absorbed in my, I would say, 25 years of watching sports very closely, not a lot surprises me. And the Dodger game, the Dodger and Blue Jay game last night, that game really surprised me. Good morning, everyone. Welcome on into Saturday Tailgate. It is a beautiful morning, beautiful weather day. Now, I'm seeing people in full-on winter jackets. I'm seeing people acting like it's 30 degrees outside. Damien, it's 80 and a little bit of wind, and people are busting out the you ever seen Mr. Deeds? Mr. Puffy Jacket Man. I mean, they're busting out the puffy jackets over here.
Is this Midwest Mike coming out?
Are you kidding me? Midwest Mike? Of course it is. Dude, it is beautiful outside.
Yeah,
I got shorts and a t-shirt.
As a Floridian, this is the opportunity to crack out that sweater. It's the opportunity to crack out that long sleeve shirt. And it's comfy weather, like you said.
Not to completely put this poor gentleman on blast that is on his phone here, right across
middle
from
of
us
the
at
road.
The City Place Studios. Middle of the road, by the way. But he has a jacket on. He looks like he's going to a Brown game in December. Folks, it is beautiful. I can't wait to spend majority of the time outside now. Damien, you're working today with our good friends at Kaiser. Shout out Chris Swagger, joins Russo and Rizzo. You can listen 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Chris joins us all the time. That's the AD of the year, Chris Swagger, by the way, our good buddy. But you're working Kaiser later on today. With Inter-Miami being last night and us being here till midnight, I'm scot-free today. Saturday, I'm scot-free in about 3 months. So, you know, I was looking into going to the pool, maybe looking into doing it. It's supposed to rain today. It's supposed to rain today for like the first time in
like
a month.
It's like windy too.
And it's supposed to rain. Wind, you know, you're laying out at the pool in the sun and this wind. I mean, ain't that what you want?
Right.
Isn't that the ideal conditions?
Right. That slight breeze.
My mother calls me. First off, she goes, you need a haircut. And second off, she goes, you're white as a sheet. You live in South Florida. So like I thought maybe I could get out, get a little tan, but apparently it's going to rain today for the first time in what seems like a month. On my day off, and it's supposed to rain tomorrow on Sunday on the day off. So, but listen, beautiful weather. I'm looking forward to having the day off today, but I mentioned to you guys and Damien, we were talking before the show, not a lot surprises me anymore. I'm like, you know, not a lot surprises me in the sports world anymore. That surprised me last night with what happened at the World Series. Wow. What a display. What a performance. What an inning. What an inning by the Blue Jays. A 9-run sixth inning. The headline reads, let me put my announcer's voice on.
Jays use 9-run sixth to bury the LA Dodgers in statement win.
I mean, it really was, though. It really was a statement win. Let's go back to the NLCS with the Dodgers real quick. And that game one specifically. Blake Snell, who pitched last night, pitched a gem. Pitched a two-hit, three-hit shutout gem. 8 strikeouts, 8 innings, K per 9, whole thing. Roberts took him out, put in Sasaki. Sasaki made things interesting. Brewers were bases loaded, 2 outs. Go ahead, run at second. They did nothing. Flew a flyout. Trinan struck out Terang. End of the game. Last night, the Blue Jays took advantage of team magic, mojo, and momentum at home. Colin and I talked on Russo Rizzo. Dame, I even think you were on the board for it because you brought it up to me. I mentioned that I wanted the Blue Jays to face off against the Dodgers more so than the Mariners because I felt like their bats could win them maybe a game, a couple of games, and could make it a series more so than the Mariners. The Mariners have a good 1-2-9. Cal Raleigh, the big dumper, had an incredible year, an incredible postseason. But it was more so the Mariner pitching that everyone was hooting and hollering about and saying could go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers. You don't want to try to outpitch the Dodgers. You want to try to out-hit the Dodgers. And the Jays did that in the sixth inning with those 9 runs. I mean, they hit Blake Snell. That guy has been untouchable. throughout the postseason. Let's give the Dodgers a little credit. All their pitchers have been untouchable, maybe with the exception of Velasquez, you know, the bullpen arm coming in and making a couple of messes of some innings against the Phillies. But that was the second loss of the postseason for the Dodgers, and we're in the World Series. Blake Snell, 5 earned in 5 innings last night, and really getting touched up in that 6th inning. And Blue Jays never looked back after that. I texted our group chat, the Russo and Rizzo group chat. I said, you know, it's never over with these Dodgers. All right, it was 7-2, and I'm sitting here going, oh, God, are they going to come back? You know, and then they kept pouring it on, and the Blue Jays kept pouring it on in that 6th inning. So give them credit there. This is a whole new series now. They took advantage of the must-win game one that Colin and I both called this. They took advantage of it. Advantage Blue Jays. How are the Dodgers going to respond? I am fascinated now about the World Series. I thought that this was going to, and it still can be. It very well still can be. But after watching, folks, ask yourself this. After watching that game last night, does this seem like a series that's going to go 5 games in favor of the Dodgers? Sure. The Dodgers could be one of those teams where they could, you know, flip the switch and turn it on. Fine. I'll listen to that. But I hope I'm dead wrong with my prediction of Dodgers in 5. I want to see the Dodgers go down, and I want to see the Blue Jays win. It sucks that it's a Canadian team because I'm a red-blooded American and my love of country is unwavered. But so be it. If it has to be the Blue Jays, Damian, to take down the Dodgers, I'm all for it.
Do you mean that, though?
I do. I can't stand the Dodgers. They're the new Yankees. And we talked throughout the week of worst case scenario for the MLB is that the Dodgers completely dominate this series, game one and on, and they win the whole thing in 4 or 5 games. That's when owners and I think other entities within the MLB, have it be the commissioner and whatever, I think that's when they would push for the salary cap. I'm scared to death of the next Players Association meeting because I think we could have I think we could be without baseball for a year or longer. The players aren't going to budge off of their guaranteed cash, and I think the owners are fed up. I think the owners with the likes of the Guardians, the Tigers, the Athletics, the Marlins, the Rockies, these teams that are cheap and or just don't have the money, they're sick and tired of the contracts and the deferred contracts of Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. They are fed up. They are fed up with, you know, going out there on a Tuesday. And I'll give credit to the Rockies. They actually do sell pretty well. Guardians actually sold pretty well this year. But you get the point. They get fed up on a Tuesday night when they're playing when they're playing their second game in a 3-game series. There are 3,000 people in the ballpark. And it's because and also, those 3,000 people in the ballpark are fed up with the ownership because they're not, quote, spending money. Because fans see the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Mets.
It's tough to compete, though, at the end of the day. When you got a market like L.A., like the Dodgers, I mean, if you're, I don't know, the Marlins, for example, how are you going to compete with the Dodgers in that sense?
And that's why I like the fact that, you know, if there's any saving grace, if the Dodgers do end up coming back in the series, winning or whatever, there could be the saving grace of, all right, this could be the straw that broke the camel's back. But I told you, I started the show with saying, not a lot of stuff surprises me anymore in sports. It doesn't. This surprised the hell out of me last night. The Blue Jays hitting the untouchable lefty in Blake Snell. And then keeping it up. I mean, a 9-run inning. Damien, a 9-run inning against the Dodgers. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm pretty sure that's the most runs the Dodgers have given up in an inning this year. And it came at this moment, this critical moment within the World Series. 888-760-3776, that number to call on in. Game 2 tonight, you got Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the Japanese flamethrower on the mound. 2-1 within the playoffs and a 1.83 ERA. Kevin Gausman is the pitcher for the Jays. 2-1 with a 2 ERA. So two good pitchers stepping up to the mound, about to do their thing. I'm looking forward to the game tonight. I'm very intrigued. There's great college football, and we're going to get into that college football in a second. But I got to say, man, advantage baseball for me tonight. especially with Ohio State being on a bye, my team not playing. I'm hate watching all day. I'm hate watching Indiana. I'm hate watching Michigan. But, I mean, baseball is taking the 75 Samsung tonight. That's what's going to be on the big
especially
team.
After the Blue Jays win. I think that just made it just a way better series than if the Dodgers would have took the first game in Toronto.
Keep in mind, if the Dodgers win tonight, they still feel like mission accomplished. 2-3-2 is how the World Series goes. I hate it. I can't stand it. I hate the three home games for the away team. I think it favors the road team. Neither here nor there. But if the Dodgers win, they still have a chance to wrap it up in Los Angeles. So very interesting tonight. My best guess is, though, my best guess is that that's not going to be I don't think this is going to be a five-game series to the Dodgers. Can you honest to God say that after watching that game last night? I can't. You want to know where you need to watch tonight's game? Great baseball game tonight is Pig Beach Barbecue. 2400 South Dixie Highway. It is your spot all football season long and all MLB postseason long. With the best video walls, big screen TVs, and audio system in Florida, it is the best place to watch all of the games. You can enjoy incredible burgers, barbecue, signature sandwiches, beers and cocktails, and so much more as you cheer on your favorite teams. Also, folks, check them out on Sunday. They got that NFL Sunday ticket. They got the game you're looking for. Get on out to Pig Beach Barbecue and wait till you see their late night happy hour menu that'll keep you cheering throughout the night. That is Pig Beach Barbecue, 2400 South Dixie Highway, your spot all football season long. And go watch that baseball game there tonight. It's going to be a good game tonight coming up on Fox at 8 o'clock. Damien, I mentioned that college football slate. We are officially at the halfway mark of the college football season. You got a couple of ranked matchups coming up this weekend within the SEC. That's, you know, shocker. Ole Miss is traveling to Oklahoma. That is a massive game on the schedule. We're going to go through these each ranked team and where they're at this week. But the ranked teams that are playing each other, the top 25 matchups this week, Ole Miss and Oklahoma, Missouri and Vanderbilt, and I believe that is it. No, Texas A&M and LSU, that's the big one tonight. A&M and LSU is the big one tonight. And we'll get into all those games here in just a second because I do want to go in order according to time, how we always do here on Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez live, City Place Studios, downtown West Palm Beach. Folks, download that ESPN South Florida app today. It is your one-stop shop for Russo and Rizzo that you can listen to 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. For theoretically speaking, that you can listen from 2 to 4. You can go back and listen to all the Inter-Miami coverage. Ken Lavica, voicing the Inter-Miami Herons, had a great call for Lionel Messi and his brace last night in the big Game 1 playoff victory against Nashville here in South Florida. The Hurricane Games, all that is on the ESPN app. And don't forget, we are the new hockey home, the Palm Beach home for the Florida Panthers as their hunt for a three-peat is officially on. That is the ESPN South Florida app. Download that today. At noon today, Dame, a couple of things intrigue me. Number one, I mentioned Ole Miss and Oklahoma, but the game that intrigues me more is UCLA and Indiana. UCLA and Indiana, I think, has the runnings to maybe be a good game. Indiana is 26.5-point favorites in the game. Damian, I want all of the smoke with that plus 26.5 to UCLA. I do. I want all of that smoke. Michigan State covered that giant spread against Indiana last week. Won me some cash with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. We'll do our parlay of the weekend with Hard Rock Bet coming up later on. But I am definitely throwing UCLA in there. Indiana, 7-0 on the year, 4-0 in the Big Ten. Somehow, some way, Indiana, the number two team in the country. Fernando Mendoza having a dream season. 1,700 passing yards, 21 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. It seems like Indiana is top tier. My only complaint, I just don't know how much of the Big Ten is actually good, Damian. I really don't.
That's the big question.
And I like to think my Buckeyes are the great team in college football this year. But if you want to play they haven't played anybody, I will listen to that. I will. This is a team whose best, you know, in Indiana, their best win is Oregon. Oregon barely beat Penn State. Penn State fired their coach 2 weeks ago. In the SEC, you got top teams facing off against each other week in and week out. My pushback to the SEC honker out there is that how do we know that these teams are even properly rated? You know what I'm saying? Like, why is Oklahoma, Oklahoma the 13th team in the country? They have one loss. Ole Miss, the 8th team in the country. They have one loss. Couldn't we play the same game of, oh, they haven't played anybody? Like, how are we sure that the SEC is so much more dominant, the competition level, than the Big Ten? Listen, I understand it. I do. I even think more good teams are in the SEC. I think comparatively, teams like Ole Miss and Oklahoma are better than Michigan. Oklahoma proved that on the football field. Michigan doesn't even deserve to be a ranked team. We'll see where Indiana fits into the picture. When it comes to AP Top 25 ranking these teams in the Big Time Conference, I think there's Big Ten bias and I think there's SEC bias. The Big Ten bias is that the top teams like Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon are comparatively better than the conference. And we all foo-foo the rest of the conference. And the SEC's kind of homer attitude is every single team in the conference is good, which I completely disagree with, by the way. I do. I don't think every single team in the SEC are world beaters. I think Ohio State proved that in the playoff last year. Remember when Tennessee was supposed to go to Columbus and completely dispatch the Buckeyes? I think they lost by 40 points. So, like, I think when it comes to the rankings and all this stuff, we got to take this with a grain of salt. That's why I am wary of Indiana. We did this with Indiana last year.
To push back a bit, I don't think Ohio State is the parameter when we're looking at the Big Ten comparing to the SEC, though.
Like, you think Ohio State is that much better than the SEC?
And that much better than the Big Ten, honestly.
I agree. Like I said, as a Buckeye homer and a Buckeye honk, I think Ohio State is the best team in the country, bar none. I think they're the great team this year. Will they lose to Michigan? Folks, I cannot believe it. It's 2025, and it kills me to say this, but they will probably lose to Michigan in Ann Arbor. It's a mental thing. They can't get it out of their head. I don't know what the hell it is. I've lived through watching the rivalry closely. I would say 25 years of watching this rivalry closely. I remember being 5 years old watching Ohio State play Michigan, okay? The Buckeyes won 15 of 17 for 17 years, and now Michigan has won 5 straight. This is how the rivalry kind of goes. The team usually dominates throughout a couple of years. I mean, there is no reason Ohio State should not beat the brakes off of Michigan. Michigan is... I know they're ranked, folks. You can't look with me in a straight face and say they belong to be a ranked team after losing every big game that they've played this year. So
that's
far.
How they came in last year, though.
They came in last year thinking that Alex Orji was going to be a decent quarterback. That kid couldn't play. The defense was great. They had nothing offensively. Davis Warren was throwing 2 interceptions a game. They beat Ohio State because Ohio State beat themselves. They didn't beat Ohio State because they were world beaters on offense. Ohio State's defense played better than Michigan's offense. The problem is Ohio State's offense, the highly touted offense, played worse than Michigan's offense. Couldn't get a first down in the second half. Jack Sawyer had that insane interception. You don't move the ball, you go 4 and out and lose the football game. So, like, listen, there's a mental block there. And then you see that with teams. You see it in the SEC. How many times has Georgia beaten some of these godforsaken teams? Tennessee. Georgia's beaten Tennessee 9 games in a row.
Vanderbilt and Bama.
So you can't sit here and tell me Ohio State's a bad team because they might lose to Michigan. You can't do that. Is it a mental block that they got to get over? Sure. But they proved that they could win the whole thing without beating Michigan. So I agree with you, Damian. I think Ohio State is the top team, but I'm trying to be fair here. As Big Ten Mike and a Big Ten homer, we get knocked because we think our great teams in the conference are that much better than everybody else. I think Ohio State's there. I don't think Indiana is there. We did this with Indiana last year. Indiana went undefeated playing absolutely nobody and lost in the college football playoff. And I know people disagree with me. They got smoked in the college football playoff and didn't belong. All right. Oregon, and like people are going to bat for Oregon. I wish I could. I wish I could go to bat for Oregon. The reason I'm down on the rest of the Big Ten is because I believe Penn State was going to be that great team. Before the season, I thought it was a 2-team race within the Big Ten in Ohio State and Penn State.
That crumbled quickly.
Crumbled quickly. They fired Franklin after 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, you can't lose the UCLA and you can't lose Northwestern. I'm not blaming Penn State for getting rid of James Franklin. Don't get it twisted, mate. I'm not blaming that. That guy never won a big game. His last big game was 2016 when I was still in college. Come on. Jeez, oh man. But that is the bias for the big conferences. SEC bias, everybody's good. Sure about that? Big Ten bias. Our top-tier teams are that much better than everybody. We sure about that? One thing's for sure. I think the two teams that are starting to separate themselves from everybody else is Ohio State and Alabama. I was very high on Alabama going into the year. That's why I could not believe
it. I thought they should be the second seed going
The Dame, I started the show off by saying not a lot surprises me. I could not believe when Florida State and Mike Norvell beat them in Tallahassee. I couldn't believe it. Could not believe it that Kalen DeBoer lost that game.
That gave us such a false image about FSU going into the season after that win.
Ruined their year.
It really did.
Ruined their year. They won that game and we thought that they were a top 10 team. They were the eighth ranked team in the country at one point. They lost four games in a row. Lost to Stanford. They lost to Stanford Cardinal. That ridiculous tree mascot.
It would have worked out.
That team had been good in a decade.
I feel like it would have worked out better for them if they lost that game by like a point or like a possession. Like if it was a very close game and they were very competitive in that game, Dave, it probably would have worked out a bit better for them.
The fact that that was even a game is a disgrace. Stanford is terrible. Terrible. I mean, Frank Reich has rebuilt. Give him credit. Frank Reich's trying to rebuild. They lost to Hawaii. They lost to the Rainbow Warriors. I mean, what are we doing here? You want to talk about the ACC? Talk about a conference that hasn't been relevant, what, in 8 years? When the hell was the last time Clemson won their title? 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Trevor Lawrence was still in college. I can't take the ACC serious, man. I thought this was the year for them where Miami, Florida State, the likes of Virginia, you know, I thought they might have had four teams that had a chance to get into the college football playoff. The hell is Miami? And this was last week's news, folks, but like, the hell do the Hurricanes lose to Louisville? The Hurricanes have an unbelievable roster. Damian, bar none, the Hurricanes roster is up there with Ohio State. Yep. It really is.
Especially the defense.
It is deep. They have Malachi Toney.
Oh, what a
dude,
great
he
player.
Might, like, I think the best receivers in college, Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Smith. Bro, Malachi Toney might be up there with
every time he touches the ball, it's a big play.
I'll listen to the argument that young man would even be better than my two Buckeye receivers. I'll listen to it. I don't believe it. I think my two are still better. But, geez, man.
True freshman,
that,
too.
That kid's a problem. A problem. I feel like Jeremiah Smith, everyone expected him to have this Heisman year or whatever. But, like, what happened with that is they're all focusing in on Smith, and Carnell Tate is running wild and making insane catches in the back of the end zone. He got the Moss gloves at Ohio State practice the other day. But Malachi Toney's the same thing, mate. He really is. And the fact that Carson Beck, a fifth-year quarterback, threw four interceptions that game and played Miami out of let me try to put this easy. Carson Beck throwing four interceptions played Miami out of themselves controlling their own destiny within a terrible ACC conference. Shame on them. Now Virginia controls their own destiny. Teams like Virginia, who went into overtime with Florida State. Come on. And listen, 888-760-3776, if you want to go to bat for the ACC conference and these teams, I wanted this to be, I don't want to see the ACC disappear. Even being Big Ten Mike, and there are plenty of SEC honkers out there who feel the same way too. I don't want to see the ACC disappear. I don't. Like, I don't want this thing to turn out to be a two-conference race and everybody else. Because what's going to happen is, nobody's going to care about those other. No one's going to care about Big 12 football, ACC football, and everyone's just going to join the umbrella of the Big 10 and the SEC. I don't want that. I want more competitiveness. And that's why, like, the Big 12, they stink this year, too. I mean, what? Texas Tech, who lost to Arizona State, we thought Texas Tech was going to be that team. They lost last week. Tough game. I understand. Sam Leavitt, Kenny Dillingham, coach of Arizona State. Arizona State had Texas dead to rights. Give me a break. Sarkisian almost didn't even make it to the semifinal to play Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. All right. Like, I get that. I'll buy that the Texas Tech-Arizona State game was a tough game. But, like, when you're trying to get back to national relevance, you need that team. The SEC had Alabama and Georgia for years. Yeah, as Big Ten Mike, I couldn't even argue it. The SEC was king. I'd get red in the face trying to argue the Big Ten. I'd sound like an idiot. Recently, you want to know why the Big Ten has gained steam? Michigan and Ohio State. Michigan winning in 2023, Ohio State winning this most recent year. An SEC fan cannot fathom that an SEC team has not won the national championship in 2 years. And they can't fathom a Big Ten team in Ohio State blowing the doors off of Tennessee and then beating Texas. And some SEC people don't even claim Texas because Texas was the Big 12 team for years. That's when the Big 12 died. Big 12 died when Oklahoma and Texas left. They were done being a serious conference when their big dogs left. And listen, you can sit here and tell me that Texas was irrelevant for years. I'll listen to that. I will. But Sark's brought that program back. Does Sark have issues calling plays and being in a big-time spot? I mean, do you watch the games? But you got to give him credit for getting the town a player back to Texas and going to a college football semifinal 2 years in a row. That's why I thought the Franklin firing was let's put it this way. The James Franklin firing, I was honestly for Penn State. They never win a big game. But putting things in perspective, Penn State went to a semifinal last year. Did they blow their chance of that, losing to Northwestern at home this year? Absolutely. But I thought maybe Franklin would have had more of a leash, but Penn State was ready to move on. 888-760-3776. Got in a little conference talk there. It's the midway point, folks. It's the midway point. It's almost that time where we start deciding the College Football Playoff Committee starts deciding how many SEC teams get in, how many Big Ten teams get in, ACC, Big 12. You know, the College Football Playoff Top 25 is almost here. So it's time to start having these real conversations about who is a player and who is not. Can I complain for 60 seconds? Can I complain?
Of course.
How the hell do I finally have a Saturday off and Ohio State doesn't play? You know how many times, and I'm not complaining because I love Inter-Miami and I love being part of the radio coverage, but, like, you know Ohio State's that team for me. And, like, God, the one time I get to sit on the couch and just watch start to finish, they're not playing.
Right when you thought it all lined up.
They're not playing. They're on a bye week because in college you need 5 bye weeks. That's what screwed Miami, by the way. Miami had 2 bye weeks in 3 weeks. Make sense of that. They didn't play 2.
Spread them out at least.
In 3 weeks, they played 1 game. You wonder why they came out flat. Now, I still blame Beck. No excuse for throwing the amount of interceptions that bloke did. You can't. But this is where we are, halfway point of college football. Folks, Florida football, you know, I understand that the Gators aren't necessarily having the season that Gator fans really wanted them to, but there still are great games coming up for Florida. And Damian, don't you think that Florida, the buzz around Florida could be back a little bit as they try to find their head coach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it has to be. The season, we started off the season with some high hopes, kind of got derailed a bit, but now I feel like it's a complete revival with Billy Napier kind of being out of there. Yes, we're still in the search for a new head coach, but sure enough, this could kind of not, I don't want to say a turning point, because at this point, I don't think Florida can make it to the playoffs, but looking forward to next season, it could be a preparation of what we can see next year.
Folks, the 2025 Florida Gator ticket packages are still available and on sale. Visit FloridaGators.com to secure your seat today. That's FloridaGators.com. Now, I think one saving grace Gator fans can have this year is beating the brakes off of Florida State. And that actually is Senior Day, November 29th, rivalry weekend. They will be facing off against the Florida State Seminoles. So get your Florida Gator tickets now by going to FloridaGators.com. That is FloridaGators.com. All my Gator fans out there, stand up and get your tickets by going to FloridaGators.com. I want to look and see the matchup Florida has coming up this weekend within the SEC. I think usually when teams fire their coaches, Damian, you see a little inspired play. Yeah, yeah. In world football and what Americans call soccer, we call it the new manager bounce. But I think it's real in football too. As far as Florida and who they are facing off against this week, They're on a bye. Makes sense why I couldn't find the game and I was stalling for about 2 minutes there. But Florida, once again, on a bye. They are idle this week. I hate the bye weeks in college football. Cannot stand it. One bye week. That's it. Why are you getting two? But FloridaGators.com for your ticket packages. Coming right back Saturday tailgate on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Segment number two, Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez at the City Place Studios. We're getting you ready for a big college football Saturday. Big win, statement win. By the Blue Jays, 9-run sixth inning, runs Blake Snell out of the game. Tail between the leg, running Blake Snell out of the game. 5 earned for the great southpaw starter as the Blue Jays. Statement game one win. They are in the lead 1-0. We got game two coming up tonight. Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the bump for the Dodgers. Are they going to be able to bounce back? Kevin Gausman on the bump for Toronto. Folks, we talked a lot of college football last segment. Got into conferences. Got into the bias when it comes to being a Big Ten guy. The bias coming into being the SEC, how pitiful I think the ACC and what the heck the ACC has turned into. Throw the Big 12 in there as well. We are at the halfway point for college football. And I got some good news. We're almost there at the 12th annual Boca Raton Bowl. Folks, go get your pre-sale sign up by going to BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. That is BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. I got your holiday plans. I got your holiday plans for you. It's December 23rd at beautiful Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Let's spend the holidays in paradise. Wait, Damien, you know what? You want to know what? The Boca Bowl allows me to be down here in South Florida longer and delaying the inevitable of going home to Cleveland and freezing my you-know-what off for about a week and a half. Yeah. And listen, don't get me wrong. I love my hometown. All right, let's not get it twisted. But I think we could all agree, the Midwest and where I'm from in the winter, too much snow, too much slush, cold, and you-know-what. Let's have a fun time at beautiful
70 degrees in South Florida.
Beautiful Flagler Credit Union Stadium. We are 59 days away. 59 days away from the 12th annual Boca Raton Bowl. Get your tickets now by going to BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. That is BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. You could follow on social media at Boca Bowl. That is at the Boca Bowl. Dame, we're going to be making our parlay of the weekend here coming up next segment. I already told you I love UCLA. I want you to keep a couple of picks in mind. Damon, are you aware we have covered Ohio State on this program for 5 weeks running? Ohio State has won us cash on this program for 5 weeks straight. We don't have Ohio State to rely on this week.
Unfortunately. I mean, that's been the one team we could just lock in that spread and not have to worry about.
But yeah, they are unbelievable against the spread this year. So we do not have them to rely on. But I found the new one. Fade Indiana in that big spread. Indiana will win the game. They're not going to win by 27 points today.
Yeah. They didn't cover last week, to your point.
Couple of people are picking them to win the game. Now, I'm not that bold. But I do think that they'll be able to cover that line. Let's go through the noon games because I mentioned that Indiana and UCLA game is coming up at noon. Alabama and South Carolina is a 3:30 game on that SEC slate.
That's a great one.
Certainly is. But I'm trying to, like, the big nooner in the SEC is Ole Miss and Oklahoma. John Mateer, is he healthy? I think will be the storyline there throughout the rest of the season. Seemed like that maybe Oklahoma brought him back too soon during the Red River rivalry. It's always a tongue twister for me, so I got to take it slow. But he bounced back in a big way against South Carolina, throwing for a touchdown and playing turnoverless football. But Ole Miss, a team who just recently lost to Georgia, a team who had Georgia really dead by rights for a lot of that game. They're in a big spot today as they are once again on the road at Oklahoma. And this is when the SEC homer tells you every game's tough. These are the games they're talking about. Ole Miss and Oklahoma. Oklahoma, a team who beat the likes of Michigan, and really has played well in SEC play, being 2-1 at this point. Now, they lost to Texas. The other SEC team that they beat was outside South Carolina was Auburn. At the time they were ranked, Auburn and Hugh Freeze have now continued to lose 4 games in the SEC. They're 0-4 within the SEC, but I still think that was a good win by Oklahoma. If you're an ACC fan, I think one of the easier bets of the weekend will be Virginia. Virginia's favored by 10.5 on the road at North Carolina. That's the kind of ACC noon game. And then Georgia Tech as well. So 2 ACC games, Georgia Tech hosting Syracuse, Virginia on the road against North Carolina. And for all my South Bowl fans out there, USF in a huge one in that American Conference. Memphis, who was recently ranked last week, they lost last week, so obviously not ranked this week. They lost within the conference. But USF, who is ranked the 18th ranked team in the country, they are also doing battle at noon against Memphis in a top-tier American Conference matchup. 3:30 is where we get spoiled a little bit. You got Alabama and South Carolina and Missouri and Vanderbilt. These are the SEC matchups I feel like that everybody wants to see. The top teams in Bama, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, Vanderbilt, playing ranked matchups. Now, South Carolina isn't ranked, but they have ranked quality on the roster. Coach Shane Beamer this year having a disaster year after almost sneaking into the college football playoff. They've played 5 conference games already, and South Carolina is already 1-4. So at this point, they are playing for pride at William Bryce Stadium in Columbia. But Alabama on the road. Alabama, similar to a team like Ohio State, Alabama is everybody's Super Bowl, and everybody is going to give Alabama the best game. Just ask Florida State that. But give credit to Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson, who has had statement wins in the SEC already, wins at Vanderbilt, wins at Missouri, wins at Georgia. Big-time wins for Alabama already. I think they're if you ask me, I think they're the second best team in the country, and I think Ty Simpson is a hell of a quarterback. Missouri and Vanderbilt, this is the first time, Damian, Missouri has left the state of Missouri. Believe it or not, it's the first time they have left the state of Missouri. They've played all home games. Central Arkansas, Kansas, Louisiana, South Carolina, UMass, Alabama, all these games were at home. So the first 6 games of the season at home. So they're on the road at Vanderbilt. We just saw LSU fall victim, losing at Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia. You know, everyone is, people who cover the NFL draft and are like, you know, in the process of evaluating these quarterbacks for the upcoming draft. The hot name is Ty Simpson now. You want to know who I like? Diego Pavia.
He's got Baker Mayfield written all over him.
I'll take that kid. Jeez, oh man. I'd take him over Dylan Gabriel tomorrow. Put him in brown and orange. I'd take him over Dylan Gabriel tomorrow. But Vanderbilt, massive game, ranked game, Missouri, second straight week. Diego Pavia looking for a little more sugar on top for a great season already for Vanderbilt.
4th in the Heisman rankings, Diego Pavia.
And Dame, Diego Pavia also has him as a top 10 team in the country. Big 12 matchup at 3:30. BYU, the undefeated team within the Big 12, BYU. The Cougars are 4-0 on the year. 4-0 within the Big 12, 7-0 on the year. And they just picked up their biggest win of the season last week, winning at home versus Utah 24-21. So BYU controlling their destiny a little bit within that Big 12 conference. Illinois is visiting Washington. That is a 3:30 start. Illinois somehow, some way, is still ranked. You know I love my Illini. I had a problem with Bielma and those ridiculous substitutions he was making against Ohio State 2 weeks ago. Don't even get me started on that. I'm mad at Bielma with the way he operates sometimes. But they're at Washington. It's a tough game. Williams Jr., quarterback for Washington, did not have a good game against Michigan last week, but pretty good home team. And they are taking on the ranked 23rd team in the country, Illini. I think Texas and Mississippi State will be a game, Damian. I do. That is a 4:15 start on the SEC Network. Mississippi State, they're 0-3 in conference. But they beat Arizona State earlier on in the year. It seems like that they do have a pretty good roster. They're just struggling within SEC play. Oregon's playing Wisconsin at Autzen. Miami facing off against Stanford at home. Stanford 3-4, most recently beating Florida State. Is this a get-right game for Miami?
It has to be. I think it has to be. They have to win, and they have to win convincingly.
LSU and Texas A&M, that's the game of the day. LSU and Texas A&M, LSU, the home team. I'm actually going to be picking LSU to win. And with that, folks, let's actually get on to the last segment of the show and into a timeout because I want to do our parlay of the weekend with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. And speaking of our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, folks, do you want to win the sports weekend of a lifetime? Dare and Hard Rock Bet have teamed up to give one lucky winner tickets to two epic rivalries, the Florida versus Tampa Bay hockey game November 15th and the Miami versus New York NBA game on November 17th, plus $1,000 in cash and $500 in bonus bets. Enter to win by heading to the Dare Day Club at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood Hotel and Casino every Sunday from 12 to 4 p.m. and placing $50 in bets on Hard Rock Bet. It's the place to watch, win, and party every game day. Don't miss out. You've got till November 5th to enter. Are you ready to roll? Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling issue, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Timeout. Final segment. Next. On ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Final segment of Saturday Tailgate. It's time to put together that parlay of the weekend. Damien, I got a juicy one, mate. I have a, let's count them up, one, two, three. I got a four-leg parlay, 20 to win $299. So basically 20 to win 300.
Let's go. Love those numbers.
UCLA plus 25 and a half at Indiana. We saw Michigan State cover at Indiana last week. I think UCLA is actually playing better football than Sparty at this point. We are going with UCLA plus 25 on the road. I'm fading that big line of Indiana for the second week in a row. We won that line last week with Michigan State. I'm going back to that well. I'm going with LSU to outright win. I am. I think LSU beats A&M at home. I've not necessarily been high on A&M all year long. I think LSU's defense is elite. I understand Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt were able to move the ball, especially late in the game when they needed a couple of first downs. But I remind people who watched that Vanderbilt and LSU game, LSU had a chance at the end of the game to come back, win and or, I believe, field goal to tie at the end of the game. But they had to punt it away. Brian Kelly punted the ball away with 3 minutes left to go after his defense got two straight stops. I think Nussmeier and the offense play better at home, and I think that Texas A&M crap comes to a screeching halt. Haven't necessarily been the highest on A&M this year, so I'm going with LSU to outright win at home in the game of the weekend against A&M. Do you want to know where? Do you want to know if we were to lose a leg? Do you want to know which one I think it is? This one next. It's Virginia. This is the one I'm worried about. What the hell does Vegas know that this is only 11 and a half? Dude, Carolina stinks. North Carolina stinks.
They're a dumpster fire.
All due respect to Bill Belichick, North Carolina stinks. It's 11 and a half, so it was 10 and a half. It went up to 11 and a half. I'm still taking those odds with Virginia, minus 11 and a half. Michigan State is our final line, and that's plus 14 and a half. I mentioned already they covered that line against Indiana. No way, in no way, shape, or form, should Michigan be a ranked team. They're only a ranked team because of these big-time matchups, so they could call it a top 25 team in Michigan. I think Michigan, they could win the game, but are they going to win by 15? Absolutely not. Give me Michigan State. Folks, that's all the time we got here on Saturday Tailgate. Appreciate everyone who listened. Folks, I'm really looking forward to the World Series tonight. I am. With the Dodgers winning in a statement win, with the Blue Jays, winning in a statement win, 9 runs in the 6th inning. You got a great pitching matchup tonight between Yamamoto and Gausman, and then great college football on the nightcaps with Michigan State and Michigan and LSU and A&M. That's all we got. We'll catch you next week. Sunday huddle coming up tomorrow with Colin Russo and Kate Chumsland.